Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Friday, April 10th, 2026. Hope everybody is doing well as we wrap up another week, week number three of the 2026 season. And with that, we have our first series loss of the year. We'll break down every single game, but look at the overarching picture, which of course is the struggling offense so far and what we should be concerned about, what there is not anything to worry about, but both things are true. There's some good stuff still going on. There's some bad stuff going on that we legitimately need to talk about. But let's bring it home for a second. Keep it in mind that the Yankees, with all their struggles so far offensively, the pitching is still doing its thing. They're 8-4. They have the best record in the American League. Does that mean they will come season's end? No, of course not. But in the meantime, things, while they're not going ideal, record-wise, they still are. 8-4 is nothing to be upset about by any means. And listen, we talked about it yesterday on the watch party, and I posted the clip on Yanks Ave. And for those who didn't see it, yesterday, no doubt about it, worst loss of the season, which I know we're early in, but that was the first time where I was like, that was excruciatingly frustrating to watch. Some of the at-bats were, not just yesterday, but the last couple days in particular, have been, you know, kind of reawakened some conversations from last year, and it's gotten a lot of people going that, same old Yanks, offense sucks, can't hit run a scoring position, all that sort of thing. I think many people are jumping the gun because they're pissed, and I understand that. Trust me, emotionally-wise, like I'm right there with you. Yesterday sucked, but it's a new day today. It's not the end of the world. We'll be all right, and we'll preview the entire three-game set coming up against the Rays starting tonight. Luis Gil is not officially back. He's about to be. He's making his start tonight, first of the season. With that, Cade Winquest has been designated for assignment without pitching one outing for the Yankees, despite being in their bullpen and taking up a spot on the roster. He has been DFA'd. Luis Gil is set to be activated at any point today. We know he's making his season debut tonight, so more on that a little bit later. But yeah, as always, we are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of that. So as you're brewing your morning coffee, I got my cold brew, excuse me, with oat milk. It's a good Friday. The sun is shining. We'll be all right. We're 8-4. And hey, if anything, it's good to get our first series loss out of the way. So, you know, we can kind of get our feet wet in the negative side of things so far this season because we haven't had too much of a chance to do that. So speaking of, what we're going to do now is kind of switch it up the way we've been doing these series recaps. I want to kind of break it down game by game because, you know, every time I do one of these shows, I find myself missing one little aspect that I wanted to talk about. This way, breaking down each game, and then we'll get into some more stuff later on. We'll make sure we don't miss anything. So let's go through the one good aspect of this series, which was game one against the A's. Now, first things first, Cam's outing, it was his worst so far of the season. His third start and his first start at home. 5 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts. He's at a 1.62 ERA this season. So the stats still really good, of course. And this outing, not bad by any means. And if anything, it's funny, like you watch him pitch and even the first 2 innings, he went scoreless before giving up the 2-run double to Kurtz. And you kind of noticed he was off. Well, he still was striking guys out and didn't allow a run through the first 2 innings. Listen, this outing only furthers the conversation of, or the question rather, is Cam an ace right now? Because this is a bad outing for an ace. This was Cam's bad outing. 5 innings, 3 earned runs. Well, we know he's much better than that. You visually saw him not looking like himself, and he was still pretty damn good. You look up at the line, you see 7 strikeouts, and ultimately he kept the Yankees in the game. Some of the pitch decisions were a little bit curious at times, particularly towards the bottom of the order, but in the end, still, no walks allowed, 7 strikeouts, and he still is going deep into the games, all things considered. He was on a pitch count. He only threw 84 pitches, and that was able to get him through 5. So everything we've talked about with Cam completely remains the case. And if anything, like I said, I think it only furthers the narrative that he might just be an ace right now because this was his bad. 5 innings, 3 earned runs. Not too bad whatsoever. All right, but let's get into the offensive side of things. So, of course, Amed Rosario got the start at third base against the right-hander Savali. Second inning goes deep for his first home run of the year, which was an absolute bomb. Now, that got the Yankees on the board, put them out to a 1-0 lead. Cam talked about it, 5 innings, they gave up the double to Kurtz. Eventually, the A's took the lead. Well, we had heard the Yankees talk about Giancarlo Stanton in particular, just keep us within striking distance, we'll always have a shot. And that was very much the case this game. Come the 8th inning, while the Yankees offense had been pretty dormant after the Rosario homer, They lead off with three straight singles, Bellinger, Rice, and then Giancarlo Stanton has his little double hit, gets the Yankees to within one, base hit up the middle to score Belly. And then with that, we lead into one of the most awesome and electric moments of the season. And this easily led to this being my favorite victory of the year. And we can thank Amed Rosario for that.
Drill deep to left field. If it's fair, it's gone. It is gone. See ya. A three-run home run for Rosario. And the Yankees have come back to take the lead.
All right, so that was freaking incredible. And I post my reaction on Yanks Ad, which is always a thing. Not so much these days, because everybody kind of knows the way I operate. I'm a little bit kooky, and yeah, I'm a shill, whatever it may be. But like back in the old days, a reaction like that, I wouldn't always go ahead and post on the gram. But hey, it's out there by now. I'm settled down, chat. I got a girlfriend already, so there's not really too much for me to worry about. I'm making a fool out of myself. I'm already locked in. Post the reaction. Obviously, I was going nuts. And again, I think this was the most small sample size electric moment, no doubt about it. I don't think anybody would dispute that, of the season so far, and ultimately the best win of the season so far. This was awesome, and it was like an instant reward for what we've seen Boone do now multiple times this year. He ended up getting the start at third base the next day and played every game this series. Rosario at this time had already started a game against a right-hander with McMahon and his struggles. We'll talk more about that later because we know he's been brutal, but it was cool. Boone has honestly had a lot of W's this season. I know some would say he's had a lot of L's as well. I think maybe there's been a couple, but I wouldn't go that far. I think Boone has had a really good season so far, and this is an example of that. Starting Rosario at third against right-handers, and it's been a very quick, like, not that McMahon's toast, he's going to get playing time, and Boone backed him up yesterday saying both the guys are going to play, but going into the year, the plan, and understandably so, was McMahon would play against right-handed pitching, Rosario would play against left-handed pitching. I totally would have bought into a world if you were to say McMahon's going to be bad and that's going to lead to Rosario getting more starts. I would not have assumed it would come this early. So credit to Boone and the Yanks for having some urgency with this. And in game one, it paid off. Two homers for Rosario. He was absolutely electric. And he's awesome. Shout out Rosario. That was freaking great. And the rest of the game, so let's talk about this. We'll do it throughout each game. Then we'll move on to game two in a moment. But the bullpen was really good this series. In game one in particular, you have Jake Bird. He bounced back from a brutal outing against Miami, which was very important because he had looked great every outing until Sunday, the series finale against the Marlins, where he just, was a meatball and laid an egg. Weather was sloppy, and that's something to keep in mind too, by the way. I hadn't really thought about it. I definitely acknowledge that the cold weather could be playing a role in the Yankees' lack of offense. But a little side note, it didn't dawn on me until a couple people were asking questions to Boone and the Yankees about how excited you get to the Trop and get to warm weather. And I'm just thinking, like, I am keeping that in the back of my mind about tonight's game and this series against the Rays. Let's see how the Yankees' offense performs in room temperature. Anyways, we'll talk more about the offense later. For now, the bullpen. Jake Bird was good, bounced back with, he got two outs, allowed a hit, but had a strikeout as well. Brent Hedrick has been really, really a nice surprise so far this season. He has been honestly terrific. He threw a scoreless outing. Fernando Cruz has been great. He goes an inning and a third. And then David Bednar, his cleanest save so far this season was, Tuesday night. Yankees take, a 1-0 series lead. And yeah, I think best win of the season, no doubt about it. If you disagree, by all means, let me know if there was a better one. But pretty small sample size so far. That was awesome. So we're feeling good. Yankees out to a 1-0 series lead, and that was right to bounce back from a right off bouncing back right off the Sunday loss against Miami. So it's like, all right, we took the series against the Marlins, and then right away here, an awesome win against the A's. We're feeling good. And that, let's move on to game two, continued through the first inning. Here's where you get to one of those moments where it's just you're riding high. Very similar to when Ben Rice hit the 300 homer against Miami after we took the first two games, and then the first inning, he hits a tank, and it's like, yo, we want to talk World Series or what? That's similar vibes to how I was feeling when the Yankees against Seve, three straight singles to begin this game. You have Grisham, Judge, and then Cody Bellinger with an RBI single. And a quick 2-0 Yankees lead. You feel like we're cruising. And Seve, he was walking the world. And ultimately, he he put up a good outing, but he had five walks allowed. But in the end, that was the only two runs. Those were the only two runs the Yankees would score off of him. And later on, Will Warren is on the bump for the Yanks. He's making his third start of the year. And he held the A's scoreless through the first three innings. And come the fourth, two quick outs, one being a nice leaping grab by Rosario at third base and a strikeout of Jacob Wilson. Well, then later on, three straight singles with two outs, Butler, Muncy, McNeil. McNeil's being an RBI single. And then, didn't love this. While Will Warren was not bad whatsoever, his final line was, he didn't go deep in the game. But in the end, he only allowed two earned runs. But one of those earned runs came in part via because he walked the nine-hitter Carlos Cortez. Now, I was making a big deal about that, like, not in a punk way, not giving Warren crap, but I was just like, come on, you're better than that, don't walk the nine-hitter. I will say, Carlos Cortez, he actually has had some decent numbers in the past. In 49 career big league games, he's a .317 hitter with an OPS above 900. And in the minor leagues, a .779 career OPS. So, I mean, like, he's not some bum. He's not our nine-hitter, if you know what I mean. But in the end, walking the nine-hitter was certainly not ideal. Then after that, he had that loaded the bases. Then he had a wild pitch, which gave Oakland or tied the score up at two. So Warren's final line in his third start of the year, 4 2/3, five hits, two earned runs, three walks, five strikeouts, 85 pitches. He wasn't bad. He wasn't bad at all. There's, you know, some things command-wise you, of course, want to clean up. But so far through three starts, he's got a 3.07 ERA, 1.3 whip. The K per 9, 8.59. I mean, he'll probably see that go up a little bit. Last year, he was at a higher mark. But regardless, the stuff looks good. For the most part, everything looks good. You want him to go deeper into games, but not blaming Will Warren for this outing whatsoever. And then, by the way, later you had in the ninth, we'll talk, I think, about the bullpen more and David Bednar. Really, the only blemish of the bullpen this series was David Bednar. He was not good in the ninth inning, and that allowed the A's to take a 3-2 lead on a Brent Rooker sack fly. But listen, Bednar hasn't been great, but in the end, I mean, he's 5 for 5 and saved so far. Who's texting me? Oh, word. It was the Clo dog. I thought perhaps I had an audio issue. But no, Bednar, I'm not going to put this loss on him. I mean, it hasn't been a clean season for him so far, but he is 5 for 5 in saves. He's made you sweat. There's going to be times where, all right, he gives a run in the ninth inning, and in the end, this is what I'm getting at. The Yankees' offense is the story, starting in this game, because they did not score following the two runs in the first inning. And with that, how am I to put blame on David Bednar for giving up a run in the ninth inning? Or just like the overall pitching outlook, the Yankees offense didn't do anything, so ultimately this game falls on them. And that really began what was a rough stretch these last two games against Oakland. You had, here in game two, just four hits. They did have seven walks. Like we were saying, Seve was walking the world, but overall his final line was pretty good. But Rice, a rare, pretty bad game for him. He went 0-for-4, four strikeouts. Stanton went 0-for-4. McMahon, can guess, 0-for-3, two strikeouts. And as a team, 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position, seven men left on base. And they had chances. I mean, in the bottom of the fourth, you had Jazz lead off with a walk, and Ahmed Rosario singled, which he got the start at third base against the right-hander today. And then McMahon was playing shortstop. I'll compliment McMahon in this regard. I think McMahon looked pretty good at shortstop. He was fine. But Jazz in the fourth led off with a walk, Rosario single, and then McMahon grounded to a double play. Bottom of the seventh, you had two quick outs, Rosario, McMahon struck out, and then back-to-back walks to Grisham and Judge. Yanks are set up, not set up, but you have a chance. Runners in scoring position, first and second, two outs. Cody Bellinger did not come through. And it was a rough series for a lot of guys. We'll look at the overarching, final like box score offensively for everybody, but since we're on the topic of it now, not a good series for Bellinger, not a good series for Rice, not a good series for Judge. Stanton, for the most part, didn't do much outside of the RBI single. The guys had a good at-bat here or there, but for the most part, not just the bottom third of the order. The mainstays, the guys that we rely on, were not there starting in Game 2, which is fine. I mean, that'll happen from time to time. Again, more on the big picture in just a moment. But, come the bottom of the ninth, Escobar, Rosario, McMahon go down 1-2-3. And the Yankees lose 3-2, series even up. And some other notes, because there are some good still to come out of this game. The bullpen outside of Bednar was good, and particularly Camilo Duvall. He had a scoreless inning. He looked much better. Does not guarantee anything going forward, of course, because we know he's very inconsistent. At least he so far has been with us. But he was really putting up a couple rough outings, and he was back to business on Wednesday night. So hopefully that continues, and we need him to continue that because he has to be good. If he's not good, then we're in a tough spot. But the bullpen was really good this series, and game two as well. Anyways, some other notes. Seve's final line, 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 5 walks, 7 strikeouts. By the way, I cleared this up on the watch parties, but last show I was talking about Seve's return to the Bronx, and I was unaware. I was wrong. I did not know. I didn't remember that he started in the Bronx last year, so this was not his first start back at Yankee Stadium. This was his second start. He pitched against last year. Anyways, he goes 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned, 5 walks, 7 strikeouts. Shout out Seve. Love Seve. I think he probably gets moved at some point this year as we get closer to the deadline. Well, we're not getting closer to the deadline, but you know what I'm saying. And he was being interviewed with Meredith and all that. It was cool. Shout out Seve. Always love him. But the Yanks should have done more given the amount of walks that he had. And again, that's just the story this season. Also, another side note, Jazz, this play was pretty insane. This was awesome. And that's why, you know, one of the reasons why Jazz frustrates me so much is because that is pure just insane talent. And when it's just talent, Jazz is almost better than anybody. And if it were just his talent that spoke all the time, he'd be one of the best players in baseball. Anytime I criticize Jazz, it's because he has so much potential. That was a great play. Anyways, let me take a quick sip of my cold brew. Hope everybody is doing well as we get through this, or get started here on this Friday and kick off the weekend together. Also, programming note, we will be live for tonight's game against the Rays, which is starting at 7 o'clock. We'll preview that more towards the end of the series, but, excuse me. Live on the main channel for the watch party against the Rays tonight and tomorrow night as well. That's a 6 o'clock start tomorrow, 7 o'clock tonight. Sunday we won't be live. Remember, Sunday's the only day that we are not live for games. That'll be a 1:40 start. I'll be filming the ball and play cricket tournament with John Boy. We're doing that actually today. I'm going right after this. But anyways, let's move on to game three. And where do we even start here? So the Yankees, of course, got one hit. And Jeffrey Springs, listen, he's pitched well against us before. And he was dotting. He was locating. He was looking good. The classic old lefty where, like, you watch their stuff and it's like, you know, kidding when I say this, but it's, you feel like you could hit him when you're watching McCaffrey. Like, this stuff doesn't look that insane, but obviously to a degree it was. And it's kind of like the middle ground you got to find between any outing that's considered a dominant start, or is it just like, is it the pitcher was locked in and he was great, or is the Yankees offense just, you know, a bag of balls today? And in the case of Springs, and more often than not, there's probably a middle ground to it, but there were some brutal at-bats yesterday. I mean, I'm watching the video right now. Randall Grichuk was, his at-bats were terrible. He went 0-for-3, 3 strikeouts. He, of course, got the start because Springs being a left-hander. You guys know I'm a Boone guy. I am. End of story. I think he gets criticized way too much. Any manager that, you know, you're a fan of, or any manager of the team you're a fan of that you watch every single day, you're going to be criticizing him. Trust me. It was just as loud when Joe Girardi was manager. I remember it vividly, clear as day. I mean, we can all go back to the Binder Joe days. Boone, your manager, is going to get criticized regardless, and a lot of it has to do with bullpen, pinch hitting decisions. I'll always hear everybody out on how you feel, and I may agree in some regards. But I will say, I would have liked Goldschmidt to have started in this game. It is kind of odd that, you know, a lefty was starting. You roll out a left-handed, the anti-lefty lineup, as we call it, where, Grichuk is in there, and that's his role, is to play against lefties for the most part, or entirely his role is to play against lefties. He won't be a guarantee every time you face one, but Sunday he was in there. And I like the idea of that because Grisham is bad against left-handed pitching, so cool. Rosario got another start at third. As we mentioned, he played every single game this series. But I would have liked to have seen Paul Goldschmidt in there. Granted, that would also mean you either don't have Rice, you don't have Stan. So I understand, there's some nuance to this conversation. The Yankee offense was terrible, though. And speaking of Rice, he did have the Yankees only hit a 7th-inning single. And that was going to be right, what you see right here. So just one hit, that Ben Rice single in the 7th inning. Otherwise, Judge 0-for-4 with a strikeout. Bellinger 0-for-4. Stan 0-for-2. Wells 0-for-3. Caballero 0-for-2. McMahon 0-for-3. And as a team, 1-for-29. Did have a couple chances because, you know, there were a few walks throughout the game. But 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position, 5 men left on base. And listen, I want to say this was one of those games, and I don't want to I feel like I preface things too much, but obviously, you know, Judge is my guy. And in the end, like, this is ultimately, I think, not a fair criticism, because just because the rest of the team isn't hitting doesn't take away what we know to be true, which is this is baseball and, you know, guys are going to get out. Yesterday was one of those games. Game three, the series finale against the A's, was one of those games where you kind of, you needed Judge. You were down by, I mean, what was the final score yesterday? It was a 1-0 loss. And, you know, you're going to have a bad game, and nobody else is excused by any means. It was one of those games, and Judge had a few spots, but whether it be with, you know, guys on, you know, I think he came up in the seventh inning with, like, the tying run on second base or something along those lines, or even just him on his own, nobody on base. You're down by one. It just was one of those moments, not that, and Judge knows this too. Like, it's not a thing where he's trying to get at or doesn't understand the quote-unquote, like, weight of the moment in terms of this is a somewhat of a big feeling game. You want to finish series. The Yankees have talked about that a game like yesterday could be the difference between winning or losing the AL East, getting the number one seed or not getting it. It was one of those games where you need a Judge. You kind of just wanted him to put the team on his back and go deep, tie it up. But that's just not how it works. That's not how it works. And he's one of the guys that had a bad game yesterday. Everybody had a bad game yesterday. But, you know, of course, he's understandably so, can get more of the blame in this regard. And it was just not a good game for him. And we'll talk more about his season so far in a second. But, yeah, the only hit being Ben Rice. Randall Grichuk, let's talk about him really quick. I was watching Chris McMonagle, his podcast, who, of course, does the afternoon drive show with Chris Carton. What the heck's his name again? Why am I forgetting his name? Carton. What is Carton's full name? Why is it? Am I having a stroke? I'm not a huge Carton fan, to be honest, but I am very much involved in the sports talk radio scene. Anyways, I really like Ryan McMonagle. I think he's Chris McMonagle. Damn, I'm all over the place this morning. He is one of, I think, the only WFAN hosts or, like, sports talk radio hosts out there that are not the, whether it be, like, forget doom and gloom, but just the hot take sports talk radio that, unfortunately, WFAN has become. And a lot of just, you know, podcasting and, like, this industry, quote-unquote, has unfortunately become. Chris McMonagle, I think, is, like, almost, he's the articulate and better version of what I consider myself to be, which is, yeah, we definitely lean optimistic, but the same way a pessimist says, oh, I'm not a pessimist, I'm a realist, that's kind of how I look at it with myself. Like, I'm not an optimist, I'm just a realist. I think McMonagle is very similar with that, and he was making a good point that, in the case of Grichuk, you know, this is a team. Like, guys got to get at-bats, guys got to get runs. So if Grichuk is somebody that we went into this year, and when I say we, I mean, like, the Yankees, but even myself, like, I like the idea of bringing in a guy like Randall Grichuk, and particularly because I don't love Grisham starting against lefties. And yesterday they sat him and played Grichuk. I would have done the same thing. Watching those at-bats, especially against a lefty where he's looking like crap, 3 strikeouts, 0-for-3, my natural gut instinct is to be like, oh, man, like, maybe this isn't the move to keep Grichuk on this roster. And long-term, that very well may be the case. In fairness, though, like, you can't judge a guy off 3 at-bats. And, you know, I don't think he has a hit yet this season. I don't have the exact numbers. I just have yesterday's. But I think he's, like, maybe another 3 or 4 at-bats on top of this. I don't think he has a hit. So it hasn't been good so far. But, like, if Grichuk was somebody at any point that I don't even say believed in or just, like, was down to have him be part of this team, at least begin the season, you got to give him more than 6 or 7 at-bats to, you know, make a determination or make a decision on him. But regardless of that, yesterday he was terrible. 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts, and the at-bats looked absolutely brutal. And with all that said, like, it is a question of wonder, like, how long is his leash? Now, we're having our first roster move is today. That's significant this season, or the first one in season, with Winquest DFA'd, Heel going to be activated for his first start tonight. The next one, barring anything crazy, would be when Rodon or Volpe come back, which they might still be right around the same area. Rodon, I'm just going to assume still, like, whether it be late April, probably, I would just going to guess early May for Rodon. And Volpe, he's starting a rehab assignment probably next week. He's actually going to be with the team in Tampa, I believe, and then could start a rehab assignment next week. Let's just say that's end of April, early May. Come that time, let's just say it's Volpe first. Well, the Yankees will, of course, have to make a decision on who goes. Now, it could just come down to the initial conversation with the roster that we had towards the end of spring. Do they carry J.C. Escobar? Do they carry the true backup catcher, or do they want to run with, you know, Ben Rice as the backup? Which none of this is really ideal. But what you do know is Caballero's not going anywhere. Goldschmidt's not going anywhere. Rosario's not going anywhere. And that is our technical bench, even though Rosario's getting time at third. But Goldschmidt, Rosario. What? Goldschmidt, Rosario, Caballero once Volpe return. And then there'll be one more bench spot. Will that be Escaras? Do the Yankees like Grichuk enough by that point to keep him on the roster and go with Ben Rice as the backup? That's going to be a decision they'll have to make because, you know, guys are coming back. And by that point, maybe we'll have enough at bats for Grichuk kind of like to make a determination. So anyways, just a really, really bad game yesterday. And again, that was the one time where I was like, I have to like remind myself it is a baseball season and like these things will happen. And we can't discount the fact that the weather is brutal. And like the Yankees and a lot of guys, Jasterson being another one where doesn't perform well in cold weather. And it'll be interesting to see what they do against the Rays this series. And like I said, like room temperature conditions, not to make that the excuse. And no matter what, yesterday is inexcusable. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible game. But, you know, it's one of those things where unfortunately it happens. And is it an indicator long-term of what this offense is going to be? No, because a lot of the guys that were bad and put up brutal at-bats yesterday are not people, not guys to worry about. I mean, Judge, he's got my criticism, but he's going to be fine. Bellinger, not a good series for him. He's going to be fine. Ben Rice was pretty damn bad this series. Is anybody worried about him? No. And Carlos Stanton, I will say with Stanton, you know, he's hitting .326. He only has one homer so far. We could really use some power. And that applies to Judge. That applies to the entire team. We are not hitting enough home runs. Now, we don't want to be entirely home run reliant, of course. But with everything, there's a middle ground to it. You want to be bat to ball. You want to be capable of situational hitting. But you also, you got to be able to hit the long ball. And the Yankees so far have not done that. And I'm very curious what the numbers are throughout baseball. If home runs as a whole are down, you never know what's going on with the ball. But also, again, it's cold weather. I mean, if we want to talk about feel in the box regarding that, or even just the trajectory of the ball, cold weather has an impact. But bottom line is the lack of home runs is certainly playing a role in the Yankees' offensive struggle so far. And bottom line is it's costing them games. It is costing them games. Every loss they've had this season, they're 8-4. The four losses they've had have all been decided by just one run. And you know, some people use that as a reason why, oh, this team, you know, can't win close games. I don't see it as that. I think it's as simple as the offense isn't scoring, which I know is pretty obvious, but that's what I'm trying to say. Like, the answer here is simple. We got to start scoring more. But another point that Chris McMonagle, I thought, made that was great yesterday is, you know, at some point things will level out, whether it be, not whether, but like the pitching has been superb. And we'll talk about Ryan Weathers in a moment. The pitching has been superb. The offense has not. You figure at some point the pitching will come down a little bit. The offense will go back up, average out to the means. Well, in that case, I mean, knowing how bad our offense has been, it's really a positive that we're not hitting and we're 8-4. So, like, I think this is kind of like, I won't say the floor of what this 2026 Yankee team can be, because I love this team, and that's why this is so frustrating, because they're a damn good team. I think this offense can be really, really good and should be really, really good. So when they put up a goose egg like yesterday, it's like even more infuriating. But losing all these games by one run, if our offense is clicking even just a little bit more, I mean, even if Judge is hot, we probably win another one or two of those games. So, I mean, all things considered, it could be way worse, but with that said, yeah, we're 8-4. We got the best record in the American League. We're leading the AL East. Obviously, if our offense looks like this the entire season, we're screwed. The good news is it's not going to look like this the entire season. At the very least, Judge will get going. Bellinger will get going. Ben Rice, I mean, I'm not going to say he's not going, but this series he wasn't. It was just a bad series, and we'll see how they do tonight against the Rays. We'll touch a little bit more on the offense in a moment, but got to shout out Ryan Weathers, who he was absolutely brilliant. Third start of the season, best one yet by a landslide. 8 innings, 7 hits, 1 earned run, no walks, 7 strikeouts, 101 pitches. And, you know, in case you ever needed more reason to not subscribe to wins and losses, which I still enjoy throwing up on like a graphic or whatever, you know, it's not the be-all, end-all. It's not how you determine how good a pitcher is. But, you know, Max Fried last year had a sub-3 ERA. That's the story of his season, well, the regular season. I like accompanying the fact that he had 19 wins with that stat. It just looks right. It's an enjoyable stat. But Ryan Weathers got the loss yesterday. He throws eight innings, one run, was absolutely brilliant, and he takes the loss. But that, of course, was a great sign. He was throwing the sweeper more. The command was much improved, and the changeup looked great, which we know it's great, but particularly with the sweeper and just all the arsenal of pitches he was using, much more promising of a pitch mix, because he actually kind of had, like, it felt like he had the ability to put hitters away yesterday, which the first two starts, particularly one against Miami, not so much. And going deep into games was an issue for him. Not the case yesterday. Eight innings, 101 pitches. He was brilliant. And now through three starts, Ryan Weathers, he's 0-1 because he lost yesterday, but he's got a 2.81 ERA. So he's in a good spot now. The Yankees rotation as a whole is in a great spot. Still have yet to allow more than three earned runs in a start this season. Some other notes, only one inning pitch out of the bullpen, but it was Paul Blackburn, and he threw up a scoreless ninth. The Yankee bullpen this series, that's one of the good news. They were good. Outside of that one outing from Bednar, which I can get over that, we're going to, you know, still keep our eyes peeled to, of course, how he does going forward. But I think the bullpen was one of the only bright spots this series. And Paul Blackburn, low-key, has been pretty fine. He's been solid. So, yesterday, one hit, terrible, worst loss of the season. And just to look at, like, the overarching picture here, as we were talking about before, I kind of follow this into, like, what not to worry about and what to worry about. Judge, you don't worry about. Bellinger, you don't worry about. Rice, you don't worry about. Stanton, you don't worry about. I'm going to throw Jazz in there as well. Well, Jazz, you know, frustrates me at times. He even talked about, like, this was his quote. He goes, "It's cold. It's literally all it is. My swing feels great. When you step into that cold weather and you stand there a couple innings, your body starts to freeze. I'm not using that as an excuse. I said the same thing last year. As soon as weather heats up, I heat up. That's what it is. Can't explain why. It's not like I'm not trying. I'm definitely trying, but it's hard to function when you can't feel the bat." And in fairness to Jazz, you know, right now he's hitting 186 through 12 games. Last year through 12 games, he was hitting 180. And we know the season he ended up putting in the end. He made the All-Star team. He hit 31 homers, 30 stolen bases, put up a 4.2 WAR. So got off to a very cold start last year, no pun intended, as the weather heated up. And, in the case of last year, once he came back from the IL, he was really good. Jazz, I think, is going to be fine. I wouldn't worry about Jazz, at the very least, like, running into numbers and, you know, putting up a good season at year's end. Judge, Bellinger, Stanton will all be fine as well. Now, Judge, we were talking about before. Now, if you're watching this show, I have to operate off the assumption that, like, you know Judge is going to be fine. If you are worried about Judge, like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we don't really have, we've kind of, you guys know who you're watching. Like, I have to operate on the assumption that you know Judge will be fine. That does not mean it's not frustrating, though, in the meantime. Like, it is. Like, some of those at-bats yesterday, I forget even just the at-bats, just the outcome. Like, there's times where, and yesterday was one of them where you need a Judge to come through. Like, it was just like, Judge, we need you right here. Like, we need a hero. We need a moment. And that didn't happen, which is fine. We're not going to, you know, execute Judge for that or nothing. But it's just to be acknowledged. I mean, yesterday was a moment where we could have used Judge. And in the meantime, you know, he's hitting .222, only has three homers, which isn't terrible. I mean, that's, what, second on the team or tied for first on the team with Rice? And his OPS is at a .758. He's yet to get hot. And the homestand, once he kicked off, he was looking a lot better. The series against Miami, I thought he, for the most part, looked like Judge. Against Oakland, though, he didn't. And nobody really looked like themselves. Again, Bellinger was bad, Rice was bad, Stanton was bad. Those guys, though, you can't worry about. And if you are, I mean, then you're probably just doom and gloom, and we can't really have a conversation. But what to worry about is what we've been talking about a lot, and that's the bottom third of the order. I mean, Ryan McMahon, while it is early, we do have to remind ourselves of that. Like, if you're somebody that believed in Ryan McMahon, and, like, the Yankees, we could use this example. Like, they believe in Ryan McMahon. Like, you can't make any determinations just yet, or you really shouldn't. But if you're somebody that didn't have belief in Ryan McMahon, I mean, you got a lot of ammo to back up your case because he's just been brutal. I mean, his at-bats have been terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And it's nice to see Rosario be getting more starts at third base, and that's going to continue. But we're going to see McMahon play, and he's got to be better. But he might just not be good. We don't know yet, but if you think McMahon just might not be a threat offensively in the slightest, like, I can't really argue with you. Jose Caballero, his at-bats have been, they've looked a little bit better, but overall he's not hitting. And this conversation is starting to die out a little bit with him, and can he be, like, the answer to, you know, giving Volpe competition? Well, he's not hitting at all, so now it's not just to the point where you understand when Volpe comes back, yeah, he's definitely, this is already the case, but he's definitely going to be getting run and going to be taken over as a starting shortstop. But it's to the point where I'm actually kind of, I'm officially looking forward to the return of Anthony Volpe. And by the way, we're going to talk some George Lombard Jr. soon. He is raking down in Double A. If he keeps doing this, I will take notice and we'll talk. I don't think he's coming up this year, but the one, like, I think we put it at like a 5% chance he gets called up this year. And that was like, if Caballero's bad, if Volpe's bad, and Lombard is just raking down in the minor leagues and kind of forces the Yankees' hand, then like, all right, maybe we'll have a conversation. Very early start. I mean, he's doing quite well down in Double A. But anyways, yeah, as for shortstop, I'm for now looking forward to Volpe's return. When I say looking forward, I mean like I'm curious, and if he can be good defensively, like in 2024 he was elite, he truly was. Well, I mean, then he Volpe, while it's not much, like the Volpe that we've been getting on for so long and been disappointed with, and understandably so, is like a significant upgrade offensively over what Jose Caballero has been. So he's starting his rehab assignment next week. You know, we'll follow that along, of course, but it's probably going to be a late April return. He's going to get at least like a couple weeks of at-bats down in the minor leagues. But I would say, yeah, end of April, we'll see him. And yeah, to be honest, I'm kind of looking forward to it. But in the meantime, Caballero's got to be better. McMahon's got to be better. Austin Wells, though, man, he's the one that frustrates me the most because, again, McMahon, maybe he's just not a good hitter and it's not going to work out. Caballero, probably not a good hitter. Austin Wells is supposed to be a good hitter. We talk about it all the time, how the script has entirely flipped, where he was supposed to be an offensive first. He was an offensive first prospect. How will it work out defensively? It's worked out terrific defensively, but not offensively. He has just been, he's been bad, man. It's just, his at-bats are, I don't want to just put the cliche buzzword of brutal, but like they feel pretty brutal to watch. And like, he's somebody to where when you read out the 1-9 entering the season, whether it be going into last year or this year, you're not looking at him to be Judge. You're not looking at him to be Ben Rice, but he's got to be a factor. And I mean, it's like, give me a league average 100 WRC plus. And then with the defense, like he might be a 4-war catcher if he has that. But so far, he's just not been a factor. And then when you couple that with the fact that, yeah, Jazz isn't hitting, and a lot of the mainstay guys aren't hitting, not only does it put even more of a magnifying glass on the front of the order because they're not doing anything, but the bottom third of the order, the entire lineup, nobody is clicking. So Wells, he's going to be our catcher. Like, there's not really a lane to upgrade there, and he just got to figure it out. But we've been saying that now for a minute going throughout last year, despite some good stretches here and there, like, or looking good in the WBC, we're right back to where we've been with Wells, which is the defense looks good. Where's the offense, though? And at some point, we need it. We need Austin Wells to start hitting. And so far, while nobody else is, you know, we're calling out everybody individually here, even Judge, like, Wells is a big part of this, too. Like, you got to start doing something offensively. And by the way, speaking of the defense, Wells, defensively as a catcher, is great. And a lot of his ABS challenges early were terrific. And this I'll do as a broad statement. The Yankees got to figure it out with ABS. The last week has been a total flip from where we were early in the season, where they were great. They have been brutal with ABS to the point where I take back everything I said. I want nothing to do with ABS. They should get rid of it. I'm not a fan. I am not a fan of ABS. I'm half kidding. I loved it when it was going well for the Yankees. I'm like, oh, we're elite at this show. Well, not over the last week. Not over the last week. Whether it be bad challenges or not challenging when they should. Judge still is like a little too hesitant to use ABS. I'm not sure why. I think it might just because he's a nice guy and doesn't want to show the umpires up. But if that is the case, that's pretty silly. We got to get back on track with ABS because the last week has been brutal. And I'm not saying it's why we've lost. But, you know, for all you know, it could have cost us a game here and there. You know, a lot of these games we've been out of challenges, it feels like, by like the third or fourth inning. So that's got to be cleaned up. And, you know, Austin Wells has some pretty rough challenges, too. Some guys, I mean, Jazz has been pretty terrible in the box with ABS. Rice has been pretty bad in the box with ABS. Yeah, just need to be better there. And overall, the offense needs to be better. We know that. A lot of these guys will be better. Judge is going to heat up. Bellinger is going to be fine. Stanton's going to be fine. Rice is going to be fine. We'll talk about Trent Grisham in just a moment. But long term, what to worry about? The bottom third of the order, which we knew going into the year, but it's more of a problem than anticipated, honestly, because I thought Wells, at the very least, would be a factor. And he might be. He should be. He still could be. I hope he is. But what do we ask going into this year? The bottom third of the order, I need one of these three to take that next step. And Wells is at the forefront more than anybody, but McMahon was part of this too. Caballero was probably some blind optimism, I'll admit that, but just like, I need one of those three to be a league average bat in the bottom third of the order. Well, they've been far below that. And it's showing. It's costing us. This entire offense is costing us games right now. So while majority of it you don't have to worry about long term, like truly. And if you do, nothing really to say about you. I'm talking about like the 1 through 5, the 1 through 6. But the bottom third of the order, I mean, everything that's being said about these guys is very much accurate. It has been a disaster so far in the bottom third of the order. And it's got to be figured out. And that is either, you know, Volpe's return at shortstop, or, you know, Rosario playing consistently against right-handers and doing well, or Austin Wells finally ascending to, you know, a catcher that's good defensively that can also hit a little bit. He's not hitting even a little bit right now. Or that could lead to what's available at the trade deadline. I don't know. That conversation is way down the road. But one way or another, this has to be addressed, because even when those guys get going, which they will at the top of the order, you can't have a black hole 7, 8, 9. We saw that last night. We've seen that a lot with these Yankees teams over the last couple of years, the bottom 30 order just being non-existent. So no doubt about it. That has been a big, big issue so far this season. That's something to file under the what to actually worry about, area, department. But all right, let's move on here. And I want to discuss a little bit of Trent Grisham. Let me take a quick sip of cold brew. Click like on the stream, please, if you haven't already. One request. It does help out a great deal. Next morning Yankee show will be Monday, by the way, before the four-game set begins against the Angels. We'll be live for the watch parties, though, today and Saturday on the main channel for the Rays. All right, let's talk a little Trent Grisham here. We call this the checking in on Trent Grisham segment. Now, you guys know, of course, $22.05 million qualifying offer. Yanks gave it to him. He accepted. I am a supporter of that decision, in large part just because Jason Dominguez is not a major league outfielder right now. So there's really no world where the Yankees could have went that route and had Jason be an everyday left fielder for him. And not to mention, that would put Bellinger in center. Bellinger's fine in center, but he's a better left fielder. We know about Grisham's defense, which, credit to him, looks back to being really good. Their best defensive alignment involves an outfield that doesn't include Jason Dominguez. And in this case, Grisham in center, Bellinger in left, Judge in right. That's a very good defensive outfield. I really liked his at-bats the first week and a half of the season. I did. And this is not to go at Grisham, but I just want to be fair here, because I'm a supporter of this decision, but I want to, you know, kind of like throw a bone to you guys. Those who are criticizers of Grisham and think he's going to be ass this year, well, the last couple games, he's given you, as we said before, about, I forget who, but like, he's given you some ammo to kind of run with the argument and be like, oh, see, I told you. Now, by no means is this decided and done and we can say Grisham's going to be bad. I'm just acknowledging, to be fair, like his at-bats towards the end of the Miami series and throughout the Oakland series, I just have not liked really at all. And, you know, I just want to mention that now because, you know, he's not hitting for power. The at-bats have been frustrating. But we also got to keep in mind, first things first, he's in the 99th percentile in walk rate right now. He is walking. So while he's hitting 162, which long-term that will not fly, and he's not going to hit 162 forever. He does have a 354 on base, which you cannot ignore that. He's hitting ahead of Aaron Judge, and he has a 354 on base. That for a leadoff hitter, that's fine, and the defense is good. He's seeing a lot of pitches per plate appearance. So by no means has this been a disaster for Trent Grisham, but the last 4 or 5 games has been like, if I were to be a blind man and I just hear the way people talk about Trent Grisham and like the vitriol headed his way throughout this entire offseason, like just going off the last 4 games, like 4 or 5 games, like that line of speaking like adds up to what I have seen. With that said, though, you cannot ignore that he's getting on base at a 354 clip, 99th percentile in walk rate. Now, I want to bring this up, his baseball savant. So, these are his metrics so far to begin the 2026 season. And we mentioned the 99th percentile in walk rate, 99th percentile in chase rate. That's really, really good. Well, he's also in the 97th percentile in hard hit rate. Excuse me. He's in the 90th percentile in expected weighted on base average. I got the hiccups. I'm sorry. Here we go. He's hitting the ball hard. Now, that doesn't change what the results have been. But in terms of, do you worry about Grisham or like, you know, future indicator of what's to come? Well, if you're going down that lane, future indicator of what to come is he's not chasing. He's still walking. Even when he's hitting 162, he has his great on base percentage and he's hitting the ball hard. And you look at what he did last year. I'm going to pull up his 2025 metrics. Very similar. The walk rate is right there. Last year, he was at 96th percentile. The expected weighted on base average, 91st percentile. This year so far, he's at the, in the 90th. And last year, hard hit rate in the 66th percentile. This year, as we mentioned, in the 97th percentile. So he's still hitting the ball really hard, if not better than last year. But the real big difference with Grisham so far is last year he pulled the ball in the air a lot compared to this year. So in general, putting the ball in the air, just hitting it in the air, 62.8% of the time he did last year. And we know he hit 34 homers. He was a threat offensively. He was awesome. So last year, he put the ball in the air 62.8% of the time. This year, pretty stark difference, 53.6% of the time. Nearly a 10% drop-off in elevating the ball. Now, specifically pulling the ball in the air, which we know the impact that has at Yankee Stadium, of course, and really just in general in most parks, he pulled the ball in the air 23.5% of the time. This year, 14.3% of the time. Bottom line, he's hitting the ball on the ground too much. He's hitting the ball hard. He's not chasing. He's still walking. That's good. He's hitting the ball on the ground too much. And, you know, we're running video of his highlights from last year. A huge reason for success is not just that he's hitting the ball harder than he was in previous seasons, but he was elevating the ball. He has to get back to doing that. And until he does, like, I will acknowledge, or not, I mean, whatever way he produces, but ultimately that's probably the clear way for him to do so, is elevating the ball. In the meantime, I just want to come on here and acknowledge that that was a bad few games for Trent Grisham. But that doesn't mean he's going to be ass. Doesn't mean the contract was a dumb decision by the Yankees yet. It might be, but I'm not right yet. You're not right yet. I think Grisham is going to be good, and there's parts of his season that have been good. The OBP, hitting the ball hard. The defense, that's not to be, you know, overlooked whatsoever. But, and he knows this. The Yankees know. They're probably talking to him about it right now. Like, that's what his BP sessions are probably focused on is, hey, you're hitting the ball hard. We got to get back to elevating the ball. Elevate the ball in the air. Once he starts doing that, we should be all right. With that said, in the meantime, Grisham is, I think, the least of our issues right now. I mean, for the top five in the order, and let's include Jazz in this, because again, I think Jazz is going to be fine, just fine long term, especially once we warm up in the weather department. In the end, Grisham has a 354 OBP, and he's batting ahead of Aaron Judge. Like, it is as black and white clear cut as that, to where that is good enough. Now, I say that knowing he's not going to hit one. What's he at? He's not going to hit 162 the rest of the way. He's not. He's got to be better than what he's been, particularly the last, like, four or five games. But ultimately, he's not somebody that I'm putting on the, you know, poop mantle of, you've been terrible, you got to be better. He does have to be better compared to what he's been. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's way worse issues than Trent Grisham with a 354 OBP batting ahead of Aaron Judge. So we'll continue to check in on stats, and really with everybody. Like, we'll monitor every situation and storyline that's going on. And Grisham was a big storyline entering this year, and understandably so. So yeah, the offense, the bottom third of the order, that's something to worry about. The other guys, not at all. So with that in mind, you figure it'll even out a little bit. Doesn't mean in the meantime it's not frustrating as hell. And yesterday absolutely was. Worst loss of the season, but hey, it's a new day today. The sun is shining. We put it behind us, and we begin a three-game set against the Rays in the nice temperature-controlled Tropicana Field, which, yeah, we are back, or the Rays are back at Tropicana Field, and that series will get going tonight. And with that, Luis Gil returns for his season debut. Of course, he had like an up-and-down spring. Actually, a lot of his outings were pretty damn good, but he had one blow up, and then it kind of all just, like, they went back to the drawing boards after his penultimate start of spring training, where he just got rocked. And you'll remember that after that start, they went to work on a new arm slot, a new release point, as well as trying to incorporate more of a sinker in his arsenal. And he finished the spring with a really, really strong outing. It was like five scoreless, I think, against the Orioles. I don't think he allowed a walk, and it was like six or seven strikeouts. He looked really, really good. Anyways, a lot was made over him not making the opening day roster, people trying to make it a story. It's like, no, the Yankees didn't need a fifth starter. And I think because the changes he made, the results were so promising early on, it was like, all right, let's just turn this into an extended spring training and make sure we hone this in and get this new thing that we're doing, get it right. And we'll see how it turns out tonight, because, yeah, he's making his season debut. Friday, 7:10 Eastern on YES, Luis Gil versus Steven Matz for the Rays. Saturday will be Max Fried versus Nick Martinez. And then Sunday will be did I get that right? Because the pictures are out of order here. Good thing I didn't post this one on Yanks Ave just yet. Let me go on the MLB at Bat app to clarify. I think Fried is going Saturday. One sec, sorry. So Gil tonight. Freed's going tomorrow. So Freed is on Saturday. Cam pitches on Sunday. So ignore the way the graphic looks. I have the pictures wrong. Apologies for that. But yeah, I'm excited for Hill's return. I'm also nervous. But and you know, he pitched